Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's Josh. Let's go.
Key West, Florida.
Dateline.
Southernmost point of the United States. Smuggler's Island.
That's what it's called sometimes.
Yeah, because Key West, obviously, just the location itself, it's going to lend itself to
smuggling
stuff in from other places by boat.
And I mean, it has. Like, it was a pirate haven for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But apparently the local population really took to that and just kept it up. But, like, over time, what they were smuggling just kind of changed. Mm-hmm. And at this point in question, this point in history that we're going to kind of dive into right now, it had become marijuana and cocaine. Those were what was being smuggled through Key West.
The glorious 80s, keys of cocaine in Key West.
Shortest shorts you've ever seen.
Oh, I imagine so. Yeah. So these drugs were coming in through South America, through Cuba, and then obviously from there, it's a quick 90 miles to get to Key West. There's a report from the UPI in 1983 that, quote, crews on fishing boats brazenly unloaded bales of marijuana. High school utes made big money driving the contraband 159 miles northward to Miami. Mm-hmm. Drug dealers held lavish champagne parties at Pier House, the posh waterfront hotel. Mm-hmm. So these kids were driving this stuff up and just sitting in the back of their pickup trucks.
Well, yeah, around the island in particular. I think when they left to drive it to Miami, they were a little cooler. But it
they throw a tarp over it at least.
Wide open. In Key West at the time, like the local law enforcement, the local like city government,
yeah,
everybody seemed to either be directly involved in smuggling or turning a blind eye to it, probably because they were getting kickbacks or whatever.
Wasn't there a fire station that was shut down?
Yeah, because so many firefighters were busted for marijuana smuggling.
Wow,
that they had to shut the thing down, and one of the fire chiefs was actually put in prison for it.
Amazing.
So by 1982 at the latest, if not earlier, the Reagan administration said, this totally contradicts what Nancy's saying. We're going to do something about this. And they set up the South Florida Task Force Against Crime, which doesn't really create any kind of good acronym,
yeah.
Which I found a little disappointing.
SFTF. You got to have some
AC.
More vowels in there.
Yeah.
Come on, Ronnie.
Right. So by 1982... Ronnie alone.
I'm sure he named the organization too.
They intercepted $2 billion in drugs coming through South Florida in just 1982 alone. Imagine how much they missed.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So they were really cracking down. They also, like, basically took over the city government, investigated the police. Like, they really went into Key West and the Keys in general and said, we're cleaning this place up.
And that was $2 billion in street value.
Right, exactly.
That always cracked me up. They used to always say that.
Yeah, I think they kind of inflate that to make themselves look very
street
sure.
Value.
It's like the manufactured suggested retail price.
MSRP.
Yeah.
So one of the things they did on this task force was set up a border patrol checkpoint. And between the Florida Keys are off the mainland of Florida. Mm-hmm. So they would set it up between the Keys and the mainland.
At Florida City.
Yeah, just right there at Florida City on Highway 1, just south of that. And basically, effectively, what they did was shut off Key West from the rest of the United States.
Yeah,
that was the only way in and out.
They raised the border up above the Keys and basically made the Keys like another country.
Ostensibly, that's exactly what happened.
And the Keys did not like this very much.
Should we take a break?
Oh, okay, sure.
Hey, Hey, everybody, it's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Stuff you
should know. Okay, Chuck, so the Border Patrol is now basically doing drug searches because they were saying ostensibly we have this roadblock to keep migrants from coming through illegally.
Yeah, that was sort of their, how they dressed it up, right?
Right.
But aliens.
But they were looking for migrants. According to, I think, FloridaHistory.org, they were looking for migrants in the glove compartment or under the seat of the car or something like that. So really, it was part of this drug crackdown. And I mean, that was bad enough that they were masquerading, you know, one thing for another. But the effect that it was having was really negative on the Keys in general, and Key West in particular.
Yeah, I mean, they rely a lot on tourism. You couldn't get in or out. There was a 17-mile traffic jam.
Can you imagine?
I thought it said 17 minutes at first. I was like, well, that's not that bad.
I'd just be like, I'd just drive right into the ocean.
Yeah, 17 miles. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, you know, hotels are empty. Restaurants are not doing any business. Bars are not doing any business.
Right.
Which was a big deal there. It sounds silly to talk about restaurants and bars not operating, but when that's a big part of your income,
sure,
it's a big deal. So they said, we've had enough. They got together and they filed an injunction against the U.S. Border Patrol.
This was the people of the Keys, the governments of
yes,
the Keys. Yeah.
The community, the people at large said, we're doing this. They took him to federal court in Miami. The court said, nah, you can keep that roadblock. So the mayor of Key West, Dennis Wardlow, which I looked him up and I fully expected him to look different than he looked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I expected him to look kind of like a Jimmy Buffett type.
I did too, and he didn't.
What does he look like?
He looked sort of square.
Did he look like the evil banker from It's a Wonderful Life? Because that's kind of the opposite of Jimmy Buffett.
No, but I fully pictured like a guy in like a Hawaiian shirt
sure.
and no shoes. And long hair, but he
looked square, huh?
He looked a little square.
That's fine.
But it was 1982. He did that in short shorts.
Okay.
But
in a suit and tie.
So the press is there. He leaves the courthouse after the defeat. And they said, you know, what's going on? What are you going to do? And he says a very eye, attention-grabbing, ear-grabbing thing. Tomorrow at noon, the Florida Keys will secede from the Union. So he had a sense of humor.
He did, but he also had a lot of follow-through on his sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just a joke.
No, because the next day, people showed up to see what would happen. And at noon, he came out and he said, okay, first things first. The Key West is no longer a part of the United States. It's its own independent nation called the Conch Republic.
Yes, a sovereign nation of the Fifth World.
Yeah, and there's this really great Atlas Obscura article about the Conch Republic. And they describe the Fifth World as, so you know, the First World, Second World, Third World is
yeah.
the one everybody
And we should say this is an outdated
Cold War thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the United States and its allies were First World. The Soviet Union and its allies were Second World.
Uh-huh.
Unaligned countries or developing countries, Third World. fourth world were people who were stateless. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard that before.
I hadn't either.
Apparently, Dennis Wardlow had, because he said that the Conch Republic was the first fifth world nation.
Yeah, pretty smart.
Which existed as a state of mind. He said, we exist as a state of mind and aspire only to bring more warmth, humor, and respect to a planet we find in sore need of all three. That, by the way, you guys don't know this, was an exceptional Dennis Wardlow impression. He sounds exactly like me, and vice versa.
That's crazy. So he officially changes his position from mayor of Key West to prime minister of the Conch Republic.
Right.
And I felt like I'd heard this somewhere before, but I might just be thinking of other crackpot weirdos like Sealand and the Pineapple Cult. There's a history of people that do things like this.
Really?
Yeah. And we've talked about a lot of them.
Okay.
Remember Sealand?
Yeah.
Not impressed?
No, I had forgotten about them. Did they declare themselves sovereign?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Out there in the ocean, it was like a floating barge or something.
Can you start your own country, I think, was the episode.
Yeah, that was it.
That was a good one.
So, Prime Minister of the Conch Republic, and he had a mock secession, a declaration of war on the United States right off the bat.
That's a big one.
He declared war, and it ended with loaves of Cuban bread being broken over the head of a man dressed as a U.S. naval officer.
That was the war of aggression that the Conch Republic inflicted on the United States.
Yeah, so they're having fun at this point because the press is there. And this is the whole point, is they're trying to get press.
They are. They're trying to draw attention to the roadblock. They're also trying to draw attention to their tourism. And then after a minute of this war, Wardlow officially surrenders the Conch Republic to the United States. And
he went to a Navy base and surrendered.
Right. And then requests $1 billion in aid, foreign aid from the U.S. to rebuild after the war.
Pretty great.
It is great. Of course, the U.S. didn't give him a dime. Did you ever see that movie, The Mouse That Roared?
I did.
It was basically the same thing.
Yeah.
So I guarantee Wardlow saw that.
Probably.
The U.S. didn't give any of this foreign aid. There wasn't a cent given. But that roadblock ended almost immediately.
Yeah, very quickly afterward.
So it had the effect that he was looking for.
That's right. And they still celebrate it today. They will issue a passport to you for the Conch Republic.
I saw, and I couldn't verify this, I saw this same thing in multiple places. So, you know, it's like, eh.
Sure.
That they'll stamp your passport.
Oh, really?
Which I'm like, I'm sure they do, but do you want them to do that? Because I could see U.S. Customs being like, what is this? Your passport's void now. You can't just go stamping a passport with whatever you want. That's what I would think. But, of course, I'm no fun at all.
There's a Pokemon stamp on the next page.
Right. I probably shouldn't have told you that.
Oh, I imagine that Customs has seen a Conch Republic stamp.
I how about this? If we have any customs agents for the U.S. listening,
okay.
If you get your passport stamped with the Conch Republic or some other made-up stamp, Pokemon, whatever, like, does it invalidate your passport?
You know, customs officers are famous for their sense of humor.
Sure. They're just tickled by just about anything.
So they also fly a flag with the motto, "We seceded where others failed."
This is just...
And then every April, they celebrate still. They're a little nutty down there in Key West.
Well, they are island people.
Yeah, they celebrate the independence of the Conch Republic still in April.
Yeah, for like 9 days. And I looked at... There was a
Any
guy
chance
named,
to party down there.
Sure. There was a guy named Peter Anderson who was the prime minister. Mm. No, I'm sorry. He was the Secretary General of the Conch Republic, and he was like a guiding light keeping things going, and he died. But they still do it. I thought maybe they would have discontinued it, but no, they still keep it up.
Have you ever been down there?
Yeah.
I've never been to Key West.
I did not realize they don't have beaches, and that's what we went there for, and we were kind of surprised.
Is it just like little rocky islands?
It is a rock, and buddy, if you like to fish or scuba dive or drink, you're going to love it down there. If you go for beaches, you're going to be unpleasantly surprised.
I like to drink.
Yeah. Well, you should take up scuba diving or snorkeling.
Not much of a fisherman. Never scuba dive.
Fisherman's paradise there. It's one of the most otherworldly looking places I've ever been. It's like a rock coming out of like...
The ocean?
An ocean so blue, it doesn't even look real.
Amazing.
It's a neat place. And like there's a really crazy awesome like gay community there. I'm sure you've seen on CNN on New Year's Eve.
That's right.
And it's just a cool place. It's a neat place. But I like the Keys in general. Oh, one other thing. If you go down there, there is a museum. I think it's just called the Key West Museum. Mm-hmm. But it has...
Is this Hemingway or...?
No, there's Hemingway's house. This is different. Okay. This is some weird, clunky museum that it's almost like somebody who's never been to a museum said, I'm going to put a museum together, and this is what they came up with. Uh-huh. There's rooms where you're like, is this a storage room, or is this like part of the museum? It's in an old stone fort, but there's this one exhibit. There's a bunch of them. There's Robert, the famous doll, who's like haunted and cursed. They have him there. It's really neat to see. Mm-hmm. But there's one exhibit that is just amazing. There was a famous Key West resident who engaged in necrophilia for decades with the love of his life.
Oh, boy.
Could not let her go.
Oh, boy.
And there's like a whole thing on him there that's really neat. And they like redid this mannequin that he basically turned his wife into trying to preserve her.
Wow.
It's definitely worth going to.
Well, if we're plugging very quickly weird museums, I should plug the Museum of Umbrella Covers.
What?
And that is on Peaks Island, Maine, right off of Portland, Maine.
Okay.
Take the ferry out to Peaks Island.
Sure.
Go to the Museum of Umbrella Covers. Not umbrellas.
Umbrella covers.
Umbrella covers.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
You put your umbrella in a little sleeve.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
This lady's got a bunch of them.
So there you have it from Chuck.
That's right.
If you want, no, we don't do that on this, do we?
No, short stuff out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.